Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
So I have to comment on your t-shirt. I think it says immigrants feed America, which I could not agree more with. And you have such an incredible personal narrative yourself. You came to this country with next to nothing.
Listen, as an immigrant, I'm very thankful about the amazing opportunity I gained by being invited to join this country. I always said that the immigration reform is not a problem for America to solve. It's an opportunity for America to seize. Dreamers should be part of the American dream. Today, who people think is being feeding America through this pandemic? The people that we can afford to be playing golf. Who do you think is taking care of those golf courses? Who do you think is refilling the shelves? Who do you think is working the farms every day from sunrise to sunset? Sometimes badly paid, badly treated, without any PPE to make them safe. Who do you think 11 million undocumented Americans, I am telling you, they've been in every corner of America through this pandemic, moving America forward. Those men and women, they show the value to America. They show that they belong to America. It's about time that once and for all, we pass comprehensive immigration reform. America will win. Republicans and Democrats will win.
I am thrilled to welcome to Yang Speaks, celebrity chef, humanitarian, activist, entrepreneur, Jose Andres. Wow, Jose, it's so great to connect with you. You've been one of the great success stories of the culinary world, but also entrepreneurship more broadly and humanitarianism. And I know that there's so many people right now that want to hear from you on multiple levels, but particularly what the future of restaurants looks like and what we can do to help, because we know right now that so many restaurants are suffering, and you're in better position to know what that looks like from the inside than just about anyone.
Well, I can tell you that, you know, was a New York Times article talking about, while some restaurants in New York alone in Manhattan, they were doing okay by having tables outside, taking the sidewalks, and sometimes looking like the restaurants are doing okay under the circumstances. The reality that this New York Times article was bringing to light was that almost 87% of the restaurants are not able to fulfill the rent payments. This brings reality that the restaurant industry, more than 500,000 restaurants across America, that they are restaurants independently owned. Many of us, we had to close first because our cities or our states mandated to do so. But I will say also was the right thing to do, specifically in a moment that NIH and CDC was not even giving us very good idea of what was going on, or the White House and beyond. So to close down was the right thing to do, but this has put a lot of hardship, not only in the restaurant industry, and with that I don't mean the owners alone, that they have a lot of responsibilities. I have almost 30 restaurants at the beginning of this pandemic. I had to close 3 or 4 because it was the smart thing to do. Restaurants will not open again. Out of 1,600 employees, Right now, we have 450 back, but still we have many more that unfortunately still we cannot rehire because some restaurants remain closed or we don't have a space to bring everybody back, unfortunately. And this is the reality that beyond the restaurant owner is the millions of Americans that work out of the restaurants directly, that they are out of a job, and the many other restaurant jobs the restaurant industry creates. Farmers, many of them, they've been having a hard time selling their fruits and vegetables to other people because restaurants, we were the main output of their production. Fishermen, clam fishermen, lobster fishermen, you name it, all across. So this has put the burden beyond the restaurant industry directly, indirectly, the many men and women, the millions that feed America every day. And this is the hard reality. The fall is coming already. We know that this pandemic is still, we didn't win, that is still, we're gonna have a few hard months ahead where the restaurants, as the weather is gonna get colder, we're not gonna be able to sit anymore outside. And inside doesn't make a lot of sense. Even if they tell you do whatever you want, let's face it, I wanna have my team safe, their family safe. And even if the government or the mayors tell me 50%, my restaurants, I'm not gonna fill them more than 30%, or if I keep them open at all. So the hard reality is the restaurant industry is suffering. And we need the full support of the federal government to take us through these hard times. We make more than 12-14% of the jobs and the GDP of America in more ways than one. We need to be supporting the restaurant industry. We have a bill, which is called the Restaurant Act, that we are requesting over $100 billion to be supporting the restaurants through these hard times. Because I cannot see an America going back to economic growth next year if the restaurants are not part of the solution.
Well, I know that I could not agree more that small businesses and restaurants in particular are the life's blood of so many communities and that there will not be a comeback. So can you tell us more about the Restaurant Act and walk us through the decision-making? So, we've been in the midst of this pandemic now for 6 months. I agree with you. Obviously, it's not ending anytime soon. And you had to make a host of very difficult decisions around different teams, different restaurants, where it sounds like you've closed several for good, but of the 70, many you hope to reopen. You've reopened many under a limited capacity, where it sounds like you've brought back about 30% of workers, and they're likely doing a lot of takeout and curbside. They're not bringing people in. So what does the decision to keep a restaurant open look like? How flexible have you found landlords to be in terms of, let's say, those 87% of restaurants who obviously don't have the revenue coming in to pay rent? If you're a landlord, I'm thinking, well, okay, this restaurant can't pay me. But if I foreclose on this restaurant, then am I really going to get a new tenant in during this time? Probably not. But it seems like a lot of these landlords themselves often owe money in various ways, like they've financed their property. So even if they wanted to forgive the tenant, they might have a hard time doing so. And I'd imagine you're even having those kinds of conversations with some of your landlords.
Me personally, and I know it's been many people trying to guide small restaurant owners that maybe we were not so good in understanding how to renegotiate with a landlord. We need to understand that many landlords are suffering too. We need to recognize this, number one. Many landlords are maybe... they own the buildings where the restaurant is, but maybe they have to be paying the bank also the loans on the property they acquire. And we are all together on this. But it makes a lot of sense to understand that if a landlord is not willing to compromise, at the end of the day, that restaurant will end closing And that landlord is not going to be finding anybody to take over that space anytime soon. So myself, we've been able to negotiate. Obviously, I'm very lucky because I have a very good financial team around me that brings me wisdom. But we've been negotiating our different leases. And overall, we found good landlords willing to compromise. And the compromise is all of the above, from postponing some payments to even taking away a few months off the table, going maybe from some fixed rent structures to more percentage fee structure. So everybody commits. It's many options that everybody should be exploring. But I know it's been good people out there trying to give small restaurant owners that maybe they had the savvy on adapting to these new situations that can help everybody use to find compromise. I do believe compromise wins the day, and where the states or the cities through the mayors can do something to bring certain logic, I think will be in the best interest of everybody. I don't see America again with every single corner, every single storefront shut down. If we want to have economic growth again, we need to position the businesses and especially restaurants to be able to be part of that economic growth post COVID-19. So in the early days, everybody's familiar now with the PPP, which was an early idea that White House, Congress put forward. The idea was okay, but as we know, all of a sudden we realized that the restaurants, we were becoming the unemployment facility instead of taking care of the payroll through the traditional unemployment office. All of a sudden the restaurants were doing this, but people thought that, oh, this is great. This is coming to the restaurants. Well, it didn't. The restaurants, I was very happy because we were able to be paying employees. Me, I was able to get PPP. Again, it's good to have a good team of advisors and lawyers and that knows how to navigate those waters. But many small restaurant owners didn't have that power. And many of those PPP were not, didn't go to a small restaurant owners. So I think a very small percentage, around 8, 10, 12% only of what we call the independent restaurant, the IRC coalition, the independent restaurant coalition, the vast majority of restaurants didn't got any PPP 8 at all. So the Restaurant Act is an act that is being bipartisan support, which is rare these days, but the food somehow brings everybody together to the table. Breaking bread still means something. And everybody understands the value that restaurants bring across every community in America, every state. And PPP was more focused to provide relief to those restaurants, 500,000 restaurants and more all across America. That the idea was precisely to give this grant that they could be forgotten, that will be for the restaurant owners to be able to pay rent, restaurant owners to be able to do investment into the cost associated with running restaurants through this pandemic, the amount of money we have to be investing on gloves, on masks, is just crazy. Use the new setups outside, the separation between tables. This is extra cost in a moment that the income is not coming. So overall, the Restaurant Act is just trying to do this, to put $120 billion in the hands of more than 500,000 restaurants across, where restaurants can have the freedom to use it, depends what they need it for. Some may be to renovate the restaurant under the new pandemic. Others, obviously, to pay salaries, to pay rent, to pay farmers, to pay bills. And I think will be has many other things. I recommend everybody used to Google Restaurant Act, and you'll see more the details. But overall, it's used to bring relief to the more than 500,000 restaurants across America. Also, I've been pushing forward. I was one of the founding members of the IRC, the Independent Restaurant Coalition. But I very early on, I focused myself on feeding America. And I realized that this was an emergency, a different type of emergency. This is not a hurricane. This is not an earthquake. The restaurants were not affected. Was not destruction, but we were shut down. So we had many Americans that were hungry, that were about to be hungry, or hospitals that need somebody to be feeding them. Who better than restaurants to do this? So World Central Kitchen, we had almost 3,000 restaurants across this pandemic, almost 40 million meals, where the money we were receiving from people supporting our feeding efforts, what we did was different this time. We began partnering with restaurants across America, more than 40 states, and pay the restaurants so the restaurants could be open, the restaurants could be employing people, the restaurants could be paying rent, the restaurants could be buying from the local farmers. All of a sudden, $1 multiplied by 4, because it was covering many other problems at once. That's why we push for the FEED Act. The FEED Act is simple. Why we don't recognize that we have an emergency that is beyond the economic and the health emergency. It's a humanitarian food emergency. And by investing in restaurants through FEMA, once the emergency is declared, supporting mayors and supporting governors, and where those people, especially the mayors that they are at the front lines, they can be activating those restaurants to feed the shelters, to feed the hospitals that they had to shut down the food operations, the homeless, elderly homes, first responders. It's a smart idea where every dollar coming from the federal government will be multiplied by 4, tickling down the economy and helping everybody. You feed the people in need, in the process, you reactivate the economy. That passed Congress under the HEROES Act. Pelosi was a big supporter, but more important, we had bipartisan support. We had Davis in Illinois, we had Thompson, we had McGovern, we had Hurd, who sees bipartisan support. And in the Senate, we had Tim Scott, South Carolina, Kamala Harris, California. We had many more. All of a sudden, a good idea that needs the support. Past Congress is sitting on the Senate, but unfortunately, the people in charge of the Senate right now is not very interested these days in bringing relief to American people.
So the FEED Act is part of the HEROES Act, is that right?
It passed early on, but as you know, he's been sitting now for weeks, you know, months in the Senate.
It's a great idea. You know, when I saw restaurants shift to feeding hospitals and shelters and the rest of it, and it employed people, I'm sure the people who were eating the meals were incredibly grateful and appreciative, and the suppliers to the restaurants. So it is a win all around. And it goes to show what you said earlier, which is that restaurants are so vital. And it should be bipartisan because everyone loves restaurants. Who doesn't love a restaurant? This podcast is sponsored by Helix Sleep. I have always been a mattress guy. I thought if you're going to spend 8 hours doing something, you should pay attention to what you're doing it on. That's why I love the Helix Sleep product. It is made for me. I am someone who sleeps on my back. I do not sleep hot. I like a firm mattress. And so when I took the Helix Sleep quiz, I wound up with a Helix Dawn model. And it's been fantastic, not just for me, but for my kids who seek it out of the entire house. Don't want to take my word for it? Helix has been awarded the number one mattress pick by GQ and Wired magazine, and they have a 100-night free trial and 10 to 15-year warranties baked in. That's confidence in your product, and if you get on a Helix Sleep mattress, you will see why they are so confident. Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/yang and use code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. the hope is that our government gets its act together and passes real relief. So I want you to paint a picture. Let's imagine that there is no relief, no feed act, no restaurant act, no nothing. What does the restaurant industry look like in, let's call it 6 months with zero support?
I will say that 40-50% of the restaurants will close forever. I will have more of my restaurants that I will have to make the hard decision of closing them, because we will get into a debt that will not make any sense anymore. Even if the economy will be strong in 2022, the debt we will incur will be so great that it doesn't make any sense.
And this is coming from you, and your restaurants are stronger, better financed, better managed, more popular, predictably profitable in a normal or good time than the vast, vast majority of other restaurants that are out there, because, obviously, like, you know, you're a celebrity and your restaurants are themselves famous in each community. So without aid, you'd project that almost half of restaurants will go out of business for good?
I've seen numbers and percentages that they are much grimmer than the number I'm giving you. I think it's a lot of people will not make it. It's no way they can make it. So that's why it's so important that government on this sense takes over. Listen, I'm a guy that in that sense, I want to make it on my own. But the hard reality is that if this keeps any longer, and especially when we know that this is the right thing to maybe be closed, but even if we want to be open, they are telling us to close. So under that reality, I think it's smart for everybody to be supporting our restaurant industry that supports so much, because we'll not only be our cities and our communities that will suffer. Rural America will suffer. Many farmers have been talking across America, especially in the place I live in Maryland, in Virginia, in DC. Many of the farmers, they've been doing okay, because the farmers markets, they've been running very smoothly, very, some of them unbelievably well run, keeping distance, keeping everybody safe. And some of them, they've been doing even better than ever. But not everybody goes to farmer markets. Not everybody has the know-how, the infrastructure. Many people rely on just be selling to restaurants all across. And I know that there's many farmers and many people in the food industry that dramatically are gonna be being affected. Already they are, but in the month to come, it's gonna be many people that they're gonna be having to sell their boat because they cannot afford anymore to pay to the bank their leases, if they are in the clam business, or if they are in the lobster business, or in the Hollywood business. All around, everywhere you look, is going to be people affected directly or indirectly because the restaurants will suffer. So better be that Congress gets their hands together. PPP was a good idea that didn't have the results we wanted. And the restaurant industry, we believe, has been somehow forgotten. And that's why it's so imperative, so important that the Restaurant Act passes. And also, I would say the Feed Act, that while there are two things that they are totally different, at the same time, they accomplish the same. Invest money in the future of economic growth for all Americans, and in the process, be feeding Americans in need as you are putting money back into the economy. Again, I think it will be brilliant. And we need Congress to pass Restaurant Act and Feed Act.
So for anyone watching this or listening to this, you know, imagine 50% or more of the restaurants closing in your community. That would be catastrophic on multiple levels, not just for consumers who'd see the restaurant close, but all of the families that work at that restaurant, to the suppliers. And it's not like anyone's going to run out and reutilize that space. So the landlords would suffer. You'd wind up with depopulated retail and ground floor establishments, which itself would create like a negative spiral when it comes to any kind of recovery. So to me, it's a no-brainer that we need to invest resources in helping restaurateurs survive, especially because we can see it's not anyone's fault, that it clearly is nothing that the restaurateur did or didn't do. And when I've been out to these establishments, some of them that have been outfitted for the pandemic, you could tell that there was some cost involved because they had to put up plastic shields and barriers everywhere, but also that that restaurant is going to be significantly less revenue generating because having people sit down and eat is a good thing. And if you have to knock out 50 or 60 or 70% of the tables or say can't sit here to try and create distance, then you're going to make less money. And many of these restaurants weren't exactly assured of making money, even in normal times. So I feel like right now, restaurateurs have so many obstacles that it's such an uphill battle. And we have to do everything we can to help them survive this battle, because it's going to be disastrous for our communities, for our economy, for so many families, if these restaurants don't survive.
So one of the great things that banks and credit card companies and financial institutions could be doing right now will be to be very active in providing support to small restaurant owners and small businesses overall. We think like everybody has an understanding of what is a good financial performance and income statements. But I think now will be a great moment to provide that type of support to small businesses owners and especially restaurants. I said that myself, I've been very lucky because I have friends, we have amazing team members that financially they are very smart, and that makes me look good and makes me smart. But still, I'm going through hardships. But I cannot imagine people that will not have that support, giving wise advice on what to do, how to negotiate, when to ask for a loan, when not, what the right rent should be, how to renegotiate your rent, your lease, et cetera, et cetera.
It's very hard. It's very hard to know. And one thing that I want to throw out there that you mentioned earlier is that in many of these cases, a credit line is not enough, in the sense that for many restaurant owners, if you just build up their debt load, they'll look up and say, wait a minute, I will never pay this debt back. I'm going to be working for a creditor essentially for like the rest of my my life. Like, I'd rather shut down. So some of the well-intended measures around, oh, we'll lend you money, like that will not keep the restaurant open in many cases.
100% agree. We saw it with PPP that PPP, again, I repeat it, was the right idea, that the implementation was so. Even White House kept changing. We were always behind. It's like all of a sudden one day you were okay, and a month later, you realize that you had to pay a big percentage back to the government. And you are like, but hold on a second. It's already difficult to pay back a loan when the restaurant is functioning properly. Imagine, how do you pay back a loan when you have no income and actually you're losing money? Myself, for example, and I know is many, many more in my industry facing the same, while we are having income. Some of my restaurants are between 40 and 60% of the sales compared to last year. Not bad, right? But let me tell you, I'm thankful that we're doing that. But again, it's only 40, 60%. And still, week to week, month to month, we are not making money. We are actually losing money. Why I rather prefer be open, because I can be employing people, because yes, I can keep paying the lease, because I can keep buying from the farmers. Sometimes you look yourself at the mirror and you say, wouldn't be better use to shut down and use wait But I believe that being open is so many more people we can be employing. Even I guess it's a risk because COVID is around and COVID is a reality and complicates things in ways we've never experienced before. So again, yes, this is going to be hard for everybody. That's why we need a White House that recognizes the problem we're facing. And when you have a leader that seems not even to recognize we have a pandemic and seems not to recognize how many businesses are suffering and who, instead of coming up with the smart ideas and bills to invest into solutions, seems he's throwing money at the problem. We've been paying farmers across America, the big farmers, because very bad policy in the White House fight with China, where actually now we are not better off. Maybe the president is showing everybody how strong he is against China. But right now we're spending more money paying subsidies to our farmers that they are not even producing food because the war with China. We've spent 4 or 5 times in those subsidies to farmers that we spend when we had the automobile crisis. And he's not creating jobs. He's only throwing money at the problem. The president looks good, but he's really writing checks to farmers. In the process, we are not feeding America. This is, to me, insane. That's why we need policies that they don't look that they're good so you can get votes on election day, but policies that empower Americans to do well all across. We need a White House that recognizes the pandemic. Until we don't have that leadership in place, everything is going to be hard because we require a very big approach idea to have a big investment to regrow the economy towards 2021, 2022. And right now, I don't see that leadership in the White House or in the Senate.
Well, you know, I'm on board, Jose, that we need a different set of leaders in the White House, and hopefully we can turn the page for our country on November 3rd or thereabouts. This podcast is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Going online without ExpressVPN is like changing while leaving your window wide open. You might not have anything to hide, but why give randos a chance to invade your privacy? When you go online without a VPN, ISPs can see every single website you visit, and they can legally sell this information without your consent to ad companies and big tech who can then use your data to target you and profit, not to your benefit, generally at your expense. So using ExpressVPN, it's like being a member of a high-tech company that's on your side where they beam you into a server in another part of the world. No one can see anything you do. Just fire up the app, click one button, and you're beamed onto a completely safe, anonymized internet. They can't do anything with your data. I use ExpressVPN to have that peace of mind. To secure your online activity by visiting expressvpn.com/yang today. That's expressvpn.com/yang. And you can get an extra 3 months for free. expressvpn.com/yang.
So I have to comment on your t-shirt. I think it says immigrants feed America, which I could not agree more with. And you have such an incredible personal narrative yourself. You came to this country with next to nothing. You worked in a restaurant. I know you've been back and forth to Spain and the US, but your work just kept on drawing more and more fans and support. And everywhere you went, people wanted to taste your food, really, like, you know, is so much of it. And I feel like your immigrant story is like the story that so many people came to this country to have a chance at themselves, just to try and create a better life for themselves and their families. And, you know, I'm the son of immigrants myself. And, you know, I know you've had your run-ins with our current president, hopefully outgoing president, over the fact that you were supposed to have a restaurant in one of his establishments. And then you said, you know what, I don't think I want to have a restaurant in this establishment, and ended up on the other side of the president there, which I commended your, or like I like many Americans thought that you were awfully principled and courageous to make that stand. But I'm sure there were some negative effects as well that you had to deal with.
Well, let me tell you, imagine the day I wake up and the president of the United States is suing my company and myself personally. And actually, because that was the right thing to do, I sue him back. how many times you have a president of the United States that is in a suit with a citizen? I think it's a first. But I did it because I sincerely believe that his comments on Mexicans were used not the right thing to be listening from a leader, and that the right thing to do was to stand up. Many people told me, if you knew he will become president, would you do the same? I say 100 times over, yes. I remember speaking with him in the early days of his comments, and he told me, don't worry, Jose, everything will be fine. Jose, we are winning. Jose, we are winning. I say, Mr. Trump, I'm trying to open a restaurant. I'm not running in your ticket. I'm not supporting your ticket. I only want to have a successful restaurant. And I believe that we, the people, means that we should be respecting each other. It doesn't seem you're a person that respect others. And I hope that you will change and rephrase your comments. I thought he was going to do something. I was so naive that I thought that a cook like me, an immigrant like me, could make a person like him maybe to sound apologetic.
I don't think that was naive at all, Jose. Like it was quite reasonable of you to think that.
He doubled down 2 weeks later, and is the moment that. So for me, obviously, you mentioned about measured immigrants, immigration reform. Listen, as an immigrant and as a Spanish American, I'm very thankful about the amazing opportunity I gained by being invited to join this country. And by becoming American, you gain a lot of things that this new country of ours gives us. But with becoming American, also you gain responsibilities to be a good citizen, to give back, to respect others, and to give back as much as we receive from the country that welcome us. But also we need to be aware of the big lie that we have on immigration reform, that we need to be also pragmatic. We had chances with the Democratic Party that we didn't take. And is everybody needs to be involved in passing immigration reform. Dreamers is the first step. How is possible that we have almost a million Americans, because they may not have a passport, but to me, sometimes you don't belong to a place because they give you a paper. You belong a place because you work hard to belong. Those dreamers, they earn our respect by becoming young citizens, almost a million strong. Do you know how long it takes to train a workforce of a million people? This is an asset for America. I always said that the immigration reform is not a problem for America to solve. It's an opportunity for America to seize. Dreamers should be part of the American dream today, but who people think is being feeding America through this pandemic? The people that we can afford to be playing golf, who do you think is taking care of those golf courses? Who do you think is refilling the shelves? Who do you think is working the farms every day from sunrise to sunset, sometimes badly paid, badly treated, without any PPE to make them safe? Who do you think is the people that they've been putting America forward through this entire pandemic? Many Americans in the middle, lower class, that they've been working day in and day out to provide for their families, but indirectly to keep America moving. But 11 million undocumented Americans, I am telling you, they've been in every corner of America through this pandemic, moving America forward. those men and women, they show the value to America. They show that they belong to America. It's about time that once and for all, we pass comprehensive immigration reform. America will win. Republicans and Democrats will win, because we all know an undocumented. They are part of our lives, our communities. It's about time we do this. And I hope this pandemic towards 2021 will give the opportunity one day soon enough to pass immigration reform, to allow Dreamers to belong and become American citizens. And why not to give the opportunity to undocumented immigrants to have a legal status in this country.
It's heartbreaking that we have missed the opportunities we've had, Jose. You know, that there were windows when bipartisan legislators came forward and said we need a comprehensive approach to immigration, and everyone knows it. Unfortunately, many politicians now feel like it's more advantageous to them to have something to make people upset than it is to reach across the aisle and hammer out like some kind of compromise or bipartisan approach. And we're seeing that in on multiple fronts, unfortunately, now with the pandemic. But immigration to me has to be very, very high on that list of things that Americans know that we needed years ago to have a more rational approach, a humane approach, a more clear-eyed approach for the reality of the fact that so many of our communities rely upon immigrants every single day. And so your t-shirt's very apt.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's so inspiring to me to see someone like you who's come here, made so much of yourself, but then also thrown yourself into multiple important causes right now, fighting for restaurateurs, for immigrant rights, but also you've led many humanitarian efforts around food and food scarcity and food relief. Someone said to me when they found out that I was going to be talking to you that it's like everywhere there's a crisis, Jose is where you're like this this food saint who's like just trying to deliver food to people who need it. And to me that's such like an American story where it's not like you are content just to become an enormous success, which you have been for years, but that you're fighting for people other than yourself, and you're fighting for things that are bigger than just your businesses.
Well, I always said that people like me, we feed the few, but people like me, we should be also involved in feeding the many. When you have a fire, you send firefighters, and they do an amazing job putting their lives at risk. We've seen it right now in Oregon, California, in every one of our cities. When buildings collapse, we send first search and rescue responders. When you need to provide help to people after a hurricane or earthquake, we send teams of doctors and nurses, and even we do field hospitals. But I realized that then when you have to be feeding people after an emergency, we should be sending the best people who knows how to feed people, which are cooks. This to me came early on in my life when I was, I realized that Haleo on 7th and E, my first restaurant in Washington, D.C., back in 1993, that across the street from where Haleo is, was the missing soldier's office that was found a few years later. The missing soldier's office was the house and the office of Mrs. Clara Barton, the woman that single-handed was taking care of the wounded during the American Civil War. And is the woman that, thanks to her, created the American Red Cross. My father and my mother were nurses. To me, it was very simple to say, we need to be involved in more cooks. What happened in Katrina, what happened at the Superdome, was never supposed to be happening if we had a very good unified response to the hunger and food and water needs of Americans. So guess what? I realize that we are millions of restaurants across the world. And even if I don't know every restaurant owner, every chef in every city, restaurant people, in a way, we know each other. And when you say you're a chef and you are a restaurant, it's almost like, it's this kind of family connection. So I realized that we could be activating restaurants and food trucks anywhere in a moment's notice. When Beirut explosion happened a few weeks ago, the World Central Kitchen teams were on the ground in 24 hours. Within 48 hours, we had 10 restaurants in the perimeter of Ground Zero where the explosion occurred, providing tens of thousands of meals to people that lost their homes, to volunteers, to first responders, to hospitals. That's what we did. We brought the entire restaurant community. Everybody, we organized the systems. We were able to support the restaurants. We created the systems of distribution. Everybody thinks that we are cooks that cook food. Yes, that's a must. But what we are very good is in creating the distribution systems. If you have assets, but you don't have distribution, equals you have nothing. Sometimes I know I'm very critical of FEMA. The men and women of FEMA are heroes to me. They're good men and good women. The National Guard, the first responders. But the organization, the entity of FEMA, has sometimes the people handcuffed. FEMA yep. has to live to its destiny. I am not the one that put the word emergency in FEMA. When you have the word emergency, means that the urgency of now in respect to food and water is now. If you fail to provide food and water to Americans in need, not only sometimes days, sometimes weeks, you are failing the American people. So
yes,
what we do is trying to understand that food is today, water is today. In Bahamas, we were able to land when still Dorian, the hurricane, was northern of Grand Bahama. We were able to land already in Marsh Harbor, Abaco. Within 5 days, we reached 80,000 meals a day, distributed through 14 islands. How? When all the kitchens we were planning to do northern Bahamas were destroyed, we don't have a plan. Because when you plan too much, you freeze. Why? Because in emergencies, nothing goes ever as you plan. So the best tool is adaptation and embracing complexity. So we got 6 helicopters, we got 2 seaplanes, we got 1 boat with 2 helipads that had jet fuel so we could refill the helicopters. Before a week, we were feeding all the islands every day, not only bringing food, but bringing water filtration systems for desalination of the seawater. We were able to bring medicines, generators. We were able to do 50 medical evacuations. We are cooks. We are a small organization of 40 people. We were able to do more than 3.5 million meals when the big organizations were still frozen, having meetings about how to operate. Sometimes I believe that the best action in emergencies is boots on the ground, learn and firsthand what's going on, not from the top of a helicopter, but boots on the ground, listen from the locals, watch the situation. You are able to effectively adapt on the ground at the moment and be covering the needs of the people in real time. That's what we are trying to do at World Central Kitchen. And that's what we hope we will keep learning to be better every day as unfortunately we are needed. I hope that one day World Central Kitchen will go out of business. But emergencies, we know they are always going to happen. We are not technically a hunger organization. We are more a first responders food organization. And we know that our job is necessary to bring Americans together, to bring people of the world together and start feeding people right after an emergency happens.
That kind of nimble entrepreneurial approach is so necessary, especially in a real-time crisis. And what you just described to me reminded me of the saying that I know you know well, Jose, which is Amateurs discuss strategy, professionals discuss logistics, where you immediately just go straight to, what do we need? How do we get it there? Like, what is the distribution channel? How are we going to actually get the raw materials in for these kitchens? That's exactly the kind of approach that is so helpful in a crisis. Because like you said, the reality on the ground never looks like the way it did in the conference room anyway. You know, you have to get to the ground. And it reminds me of some of the experiences I've had too, where one of the things that I'm passionate about right now, Jose, is that our country is getting bogged down in bureaucracy on so many levels. And then people are just getting more and more frustrated because things aren't working the way they're supposed to. And at a restaurant, you have no choice but to make it work. Like with your organization, you're like, well, our entire job is to figure out how to make it work. And we need more of that. I'm going to say that entrepreneurial spirit is something that I spent years trying to cultivate to a higher degree in young people and entrepreneurs around the country, because it's so important. And if we lose that substance, then we're sunk. You know, and I think it's one reason why your passion for helping restaurateurs is exactly the right cause, the right fight right now, because each of those restaurant owners, like, is like their own, like they're fighting their own battle, you know, but they're each like real battleground leaders, you know, like they figure it out every single day. And we need to give them a chance to succeed, because they're so important to their communities. And we can talk about the economics and the food and the rest of it, but really just the humanity of it, that these are people that just make good things happen in their communities every single day. That's what we need to make sure stays alive here in the United States.
I think you're right. I think it was Winston Churchill that said that success is going from failure to failure without losing enthusiasm. But to have a failure, also you have to be there to risk, to take the risk other will not even take, because it's easier to be in the comfort of what you know versus going out there and trying to move an idea forward that sometimes you don't even know if it's going to work, because you have a gut feeling and you prepare as much as you can, but still you don't know if the great idea you have is ever going to happen. But you have to be taking the risks.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Obviously, we are talking is the confluence between business and then a nonprofit, right? But World Central Kitchen was obviously trying always to bring this idea of the for-profit business in the approach, right? So in the same way, I tell you that we are an emergency organization. I try to bring the spirit of the entrepreneur. Once the emergency goes away, like in the case of Puerto Rico, after Maria and the 4 million meals we did, Puerto Rico was changing to the reconstruction mode. World Central Kitchen didn't disappear from there. Now we have a great team that can respond and has responded to other hurricanes or earthquakes. But we were able to be investing in a plan we have to help over 200 farms to make sure that the young people of Puerto Rico will not leave Puerto Rico, but will stay in Puerto Rico, creating a system of food production all across Puerto Rico, creating jobs, giving a sense of community, making sure that Puerto Rico will stop importing more than 90% of the food they consume. Why they will have in a in a place that is a rainforest be bringing lettuces from California or from Florida when they can be growing their lettuces right there? And specifically for me, it never made a lot of sense that you will put on a plane or on a ship lettuces that have zero calories. At least if you're going to be moving food, move something that has a calorie to show off. Some lettuces that they have zero calories, and you are using planes and ships to move them all across the nation, all across from another continent. It didn't make any sense to me. So we are doing the same in Bahamas. We are now helping some of the farmers that lost everything. So for us, the supporting entrepreneurs, we know it's very important because you are rebuilding the backbone of a better tomorrow. And so out of these emergencies is great. We help, but we are learning so much of the locals, and the locals tell us what they need and what their dreams are, that we try to be there as an NGO behind them. And the money that people donate to us, we try to make sure that doesn't keep going to fight the, to invest it into the problem, but to invest into the solutions. And now we began seeing a lot of good things happening in Puerto Rico. When I go back and I see all these hundreds of families that they have a living, that they are bringing local foods, that they are feeding the local Puerto Ricans, creating jobs and giving a sense of community. And if something else happened, well, we are rebuilding in case another hurricane comes. So we have greenhouses that the way they are built, they will be able to be supporting a hurricane. And this for us is also very important. Rebuild, generate jobs again, re-engage into the economy, but also rebuild smarter. So when something else happens, you can start moving ahead in the moment the hurricane goes away, start feeding your fellow citizens and putting the economy quicker and faster working again.
Jose, we should put you in charge of something massive. I mean, you're already in charge of something massive and you create massive things. But if there was a government role that somehow someone could enlist you for, what would you select if there was such a thing? And it could be that there's nothing in the government that that interests you because you've already got so much on your plate.
Listen, it's so many areas of government that I do believe can be improved without hard work or huge crazy policies. I do believe that FEMA response can be improved dramatically. I sincerely believe that FEMA can do more with less. And I have a feeling like right now they are doing less, spending more. And I say this sincerely because I've seen it in first person many times over. I believe that the Farm Bill can be improved. I think the Farm Bill right now throws money at the problem, makes Americans sicker, makes Americans obese and fatter, doesn't tickle all the money the Farm Bill has across every single farm. Seems that the Farm Bill is only helping the same very super big companies. I like big companies. I want to have a super big company one day, but I don't want to have that successful super big company at the expense of middle and smaller farmers. Amen. Being not able to survive. This is not smart for America. If you are giving subsidies to the people doing the 5, 4, 5, 6 big cereals and grains, shit, why the people doing carrots and broccoli are not able to get the same subsidy? Why the USDA through the My Plate is the government telling us what a good healthy diet should be? But then when you see the My Plate, which the government is telling, this is what you guys should eat. But then you see the subsidies and the way the money at the Farm Bill is spent has nothing to do with that USDA issue, My Plate, nutritional guidance of how to feed America. Let's make sure that at least we make common sense of what the government is telling us what to eat and the money they invest to achieve that objective. Sometimes we have things that don't work and don't make any sense when it should be so easy. Every single child in America should be having a school lunch. Remember that we began this in 1946 when generals, they asked Congress to support feeding better quality food because we had young Americans that they were not fit to join the military because malnutrition. Right now we have almost the same thing. Let's make sure that the federal government, and when we have a government, is there to make sure that they invest in the solutions, not to keep moving the problems forward on and on. It's like hitting the can down the road. Let's stop hitting the can. Let's get that can and let's do something with it. Let's use it to plan something. From there, you're gonna start fixing a lot of problems. Food deserts. We keep talking about food deserts. Food deserts is something like the federal government can end in a day with help of federal government, state level, and mayors. We can eradicate food deserts across America, creating on federal land, businesses, small farmers coming to communities that are forgotten, making sure that people can use it through SNAPs, the food stamps, making sure that we are able maybe to subsidize the price so the price is slightly lower and people can afford it. People that want our pity, people want our respect. Let's create systems that gives respect to people. And in the process, you restart local economies, you bring wealth to poor communities. It's so many things we can be doing. And quite frankly, the thing I'm asking Vice President Biden and any candidate that will one day run in the White House, and I know we'll see you one day trying again to make it one day. And I wish you the best in the years to come because you'll be a great leader in many ways. I've been asking Vice President Biden that we need to take food seriously and we need to have a person seated next to the president at the national security level to say food should not be a problem, but an opportunity. Food, one day we will not have enough food, not to feed the world, maybe to feed America, because a pandemic will happen, because a pest will happen, because a drought will happen. We're taking food for granted, should be given more importance, more seriousness. And if we do that, many, many solutions will show up to make sure that the problems move away.
I love it so much, Jose. What I am to universal basic income and eradicating poverty, you are going to be to food security and eradicating food deserts. And we should totally do what you just envisioned. It would be a massive opportunity, as you say. It's exactly the kind of thing we need to try and jumpstart our communities, our economy, our own health, like our kids' futures. I love it. You're a visionary, and we're going to hopefully have a chance to work on these things together. So the Restaurant Act, the Feed Act, World Central Kitchen, what else should we be doing to help you aside from try and get our men and women of Congress to get their acts together and enact real relief for restaurant owners?
Well, I think it's so many things that are little that we can all be helping, right? Use registering to vote and voting. I'm voting for somebody. I'm voting for somebody that brings empathy forward and brings America together forward. That's a simple thing to do. I'm not going to tell you who you should vote for, but you can guess who. But vote for empathy and vote for somebody that has put America in a good path before with the previous president. That's a simple one. People can be wearing a mask and make sure that we don't add more sick people to the list that overwhelms our hospitals and put the lives of nurses and doctors in danger. Take a look how simple. Who can be against that? Who can be against that simple sacrifice that you can be? We don't have a problem when we go to a ski and it's cold and we put up. So shit, this is like a long winter. Use, play the game, take care of your fellow citizens. Be, and then obviously myself, World Central Kitchen, we've been spending the money before we get it. If anybody thinks the way we do it is something people like to be part of, go to worldcentralkitchen.org. It's always a great place to be. And that's it. And if anybody is thinking about being a restaurant owner, now is a good time. It'll be a lot of restaurants out there that will take a good, smart investor, somebody that had the dream of owning a restaurant. Now is the moment. In more ways than one, people can be bringing their savvy, especially if people are good on numbers and investments, and you can be saving the life of a local restaurant somewhere across America, only because you are bringing a little bit of your cash, you own a restaurant, your dream is fulfilled, and you bring your know-how, and you give a chance to that restaurant and that family's working out of this restaurant in the future. It's many ways to be helping. Everybody always asks me, but Jose, I don't know what to do. Everybody has talents. Look within you. Look yourself at the mirror and use, give more importance to what you know than maybe the importance to you give to yourself. Remember that life always starts at the end of your comfort zone. Everybody right now should move away from their comfort zone, and they should be saying, it's a talent I have that can be helping others. Let me find who are those others that I can help them improve their future, their outcomes, their lives. Everybody can. So just find your way. There's plenty of ways in this century, in this country of ours, to be helping fellow Americans in need. So just think about it. There's something inside every one of us that you will surprise yourself. You have a talent that can improve the lives of others. Just you need to find it. Because I know you have it. I know these people there will be thankful that you knock on their door offering your support and your help and your know-how.
Jose, that was incredible. I thought that you elevated food, but what you really do is you elevate people. So congratulations on helping us think more and act more towards our community members, our neighbors, and the people who are working in the restaurants every day. But also just to realize that there are so many things that unify us, and food would have to be very, very high on that list. And you're such a unifying figure. I came into this conversation a fan, but now I'm just thinking, wow, like there is no limit to what this man can accomplish, the impact that he's already had and can have. And we need to take your vision and make it a reality. We need to eradicate food deserts in the United States of America and start there, because it'd just be a massive opportunity in improving our way of life.
Thank you very much, Andrew. Thank you for having me. Thank you very much for your service to all America by bringing your voice forward. You show us what is to move away from your comfort zone. Probably you could be doing great just running your life and being a and being successful in your life, but you decided to be there to bring your voice. Thank you very much, because that was important. And many of the ideas you were bringing forward, they are great ideas that we hope one day they will see the light. And again, thank you for your service and your commitment to believe that we all can make America better just by showing up. Thank you.
Oh, I appreciate it, Jose. And I got to say, when you talked about just showing up and then figuring out what the reality was in the ground for World Central Kitchen, it reminded me of my presidential campaign. Because it was like, you draw up what the campaign's supposed to be, and be like, oh, maybe I'll just get myself to Iowa and see what's going on. I'll just like take a drive to New Hampshire. And then you just like ended up adapting and figuring things out. So that's what came to mind for me. Like, it really was just the entrepreneurial spirit where you just think like, oh, well, like I'm only going to be able to know what I need to do if I go out and start doing it. Thank you, Jose. Stay safe. And yeah, Restaurant Act, Feed Act, let's get them into law, and let's get these restaurant owners the help they deserve.
Let's make it happen. Thank you.